A Story Like the Wind by Laurens van der Post. Laurens van der Post's A Story Like the Wind is an epic exploration of the vanishing magical world of primitive Africa, seen through the eyes of François Joubert, a 13-year-old boy living on a remote frontier ranch called Hunter's Drift. The narrative is grounded in the author's belief that the living spirit needs the story for its survival and renewal, and it serves as a testament to the magic that existed in Africa before European interference. François, known to the local Matabele people as Little Feather, is raised in an environment where the boundaries between the physical world and the world of myth are porous. His life is defined by his relationships with his parents, Lamiad Ua, Pierre-Paul Joubert, his mentor, the legendary hunter Mopani Theron, the Matabele headman, Bamuthi, and most significantly, his dog Hintzand, a bushman named Exhabo, the world of Hunter's Drift and the education of François. Hunter's Drift is a self-supporting ranch carved out of the virgin bush near the Amanzimtetse River. The River of Sweet Waters. François's father, Pierre-Paul, was a former director of African Education who resigned in protest against the government's discriminatory policies. He established the ranch as a non-racial model of partnership with the Matabele people, particularly the clan of Bamuthi, who serves as the keeper of the ford. François's education is unconventional. His father runs a private school for him at home to protect his unique personality, what Lamy calls the other person, from being homogenized by colonial boarding schools. François grows up immersed in the lore of the Bushmen, the Amaxa, and the Matabele. From his old nurse, Koba, he learns the ancient Bushman language, which is filled with onomatopoeic clicks that allow humans to communicate with the natural world. Koba teaches him that the stars are the greatest hunters and that the first people lived in harmony with all creatures until they stole fire from the ostrich. This education makes François uniquely attuned to the biblical character of the African landscape, where nature is seen as a living scripture, Hintsa, the ridgeback and the link to nature. When François is 11, his father brings him a Rhodesian ridgeback puppy. Named Hintsa, later shortened to Hin. Hintsa is the offspring of Nandi and Dingiswayo, dogs belonging to Mopani Theron. François trains Hintsa using the Bushman tongue, discovering that the dog responds instinctively to commands like TS-Sisk, to flush game, and TZA, to chase. Hintsa is not merely a pet, he is an intelligence officer of the night, who monitors the bush and alerts François to any unusual stirrings that the farm's five mongrel watchdogs might miss. François spends months teaching Hintsa to restrain his inspired barking, which the dog views as a form of singing. Through a creative experiment using a gramophone record of The Whistler and His Dog and Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, François teaches Hintsa that silence is the price of admission to music. Hintsa becomes moonproof, learning to appreciate the celestial beauty without waking the entire ranch. This training proves vital when Hintsa alerts François to a scent he has never encountered before, the scent of a wild bushman, the coming of Exhabo and the secret cave. The story takes a dramatic turn when Hintsa wakes François before dawn with a tense, high-pitched whimper. Guided by the dog, François discovers a young bushman named Exhabo caught in a heavy steel lion trap. Exhabo had been on a sacred mission to return to his people's ancestral cave to report his father's death. François uses a wooden lever to suppress the trap's spring and rescues Exhabo, whose leg is severely mangled. Moments after the rescue, a large male leopard attempts to attack them. François kills the leopard with his great-grandfather's octagonal muzzle loader, a weapon he chose over his repeating rifle for its deadlier impact. To keep Exhabo's presence a secret from the Matabele, who traditionally persecuted the Bushmen, François hides him in a secret cave. High in the cliffs above the river, this cave, which Exhabo calls Mantis's Place, is decorated with ancient Stone Age paintings of eland, giraffes, and a mystic encounter between a praying mantis and a great serpent. François treats Exhabo's wounds with European medicine, iodine and MnB693, which Exhabo views as powerful magic. During their time together, Exhabo explains the concept of the tapping, an internal vibration in the chest that allows Bushmen to sense things beyond physical sight and sound. Exhabo warns François that he hears a tapping from a great distance that is not pleasant, signaling that his people are in danger and he must return to the desert. Before departing, Exhabo and François witness a visitation from a praying mantis, which they interpret as the god Koegana calling Exhabo home. They establish a secret call sign, a combination of a night plover's calendar jackal's bark to signal Exhabo's eventual return, the crisis of the father and the seer. While François is protecting Exhabo, his father, Pierre-Paul, falls into a mysterious and terminal decline. The Matabele believe he is bewitched by the government as punishment for his descent. When European specialists fail to diagnose the illness, Bamuthi and Francois decide to consult a renowned Matabele seer and prophet named Ulingala Balela, the Right Honorable Sun is Hot. Francois and Bamuthi undertake a hazardous journey into the bush, leading two heifers night and day, and little finger as gifts for the seer. On the way, they witness a chilling sight, a group of armed men in uniform, men of the spear, accompanied by a Chinese observer. These men are massing in the bush for a purpose Bamuthi finds terrifying, though Francois does not yet understand the full military implications. At the seer's kraal, Ulingala Balela uses a ritual fire to open the gates of distance and see Pierre Paul's condition. He identifies the cause of the illness as the turning of the backs, a spiritual isolation caused by the rejection of Pierre Paul by his own people. The seer warns that the great white bird is already drifting outside his body and that time is running out. Despite Francois providing a strand of his father's hair for a healing ritual, Ulingala Balela eventually returns the gifts, signaling that Ua has died. Francois is devastated, realizing that common sense and European medicine were insufficient against the spiritual forces at work, the arrival of the Monctons and the conflict of logic. Into this world of grief and omen comes Sir James Monckton and his daughter, Luciana, nicknamed Nonny. Sir James, a retired colonial governor, has come to develop a neighboring property called Silverton Hill, derisively known by the Matabele as Fish Metal Hill. Sir James represents the peak of British administrative logic. He is anti-magic and dismissive of the superstitions of the bush. The ideological clash between Francois and Sir James is established early on when Francois warns the party not to camp near a clump of blood trees, where a man had recently tried to hang himself. Sir James dismisses the warning as rubbish, though the cape-colored wagoners in his train refuse to stay there, siding with Francois. Despite this friction, a deep bond develops between Francois and Nonny. Francois introduces her to the secret life of the bush, taking her to a baboon finishing school, where the elder Adonis teaches the young to count. He explains that even the crocodile has its place in the divine order, often acting as a dentist for the birds that clean its teeth. Francois nicknames the girl Nonny, meaning little mistress, and begins to view her as a partner in his secret life. Before she leaves with her father on a temporary diplomatic mission to London, they share a moment of hail and farewell in the dark, where Francois realizes that, despite her father's skepticism, she is one of us, someone who understands the music of the bush. The birds change their tune, omens of war. Following his father's death and the departure of the Monctons, Francois experiences a period of infinite distance and loneliness. He takes refuge in preparing Mantis's cave as a fortress for a siege, stocking it with military supplies, water, and food in anticipation of an emergency mobilization. He builds an altar of white pebbles for a painting of Saint Hubert, the patron saint of hunters and the hunted, which Nonny sent him. The atmosphere at Hunter's Drift becomes increasingly heavy with omens of doom. Mopani Theron and Francois notice that the birds have changed their tune, singing with a frenzy and desperation that Mopani last heard just before the outbreak of World War I. Bamuthi reports similar fears among the Matabele, noting that Ulingala Balela has had a vision of stars falling out of their lawful courses. The Punda Ma Tenka Road becomes busy with mysterious trucks driven by well-trained Africans in khaki overalls. These men are hostile and view the Joubert's as settlers to be eradicated. During a confrontation at the ford, Francois again spots the Chinese observer hiding in one of the trucks, confirming that a foreign power is organizing an insurgent force. A visit from three Crows of God, priests from the World Council of Christian Churches, further underscores the isolation of the frontier families. The priests express sympathy only for the freedom fighters and view Hunter's Drift as a feudal relic of exploitation. The final warning comes from a simple-minded Matabele girl, Langazana, who tells of a black crow that screamed at her to flee, warning that, if you stay in this place much longer you will all be killed, the massacre at Hunter's Drift. The storm finally breaks on the night the Monctons return to Hunter's Drift. Francois is woken by Exhabo's secret call sign. The plover and the jackal uttered with extreme urgency. He finds Nonny already awake and waiting for him, and they slip out into the dark together. They meet Exhabo and his wife, Nuantara, who have traveled for 30 days from the desert to warn Francois that thousands of Kaffirs, armed with automatic rifles, are massing to kill everyone. From a high vantage point on the cliffs, Francois and Nonny witness the annihilation of Hunter's Drift. The insurgent army surrounds the homestead and kraals, directing controlled volleys of fire into the buildings. Francois hears Bamathi's final war cry booming to me before the Matabele leader is cut down by machine gun fire. Desperate to find survivors, Francois and Exhabo descend the hill and discover that Bamathi died a heroic death. The Matabele warrior had encountered an advance patrol and managed to kill four armed men with his spear, Yusimsela Banta Bami, before he was riddled with bullets. The attackers, in a fit of rage at Bamathi's defiance, had fired burst after burst into his dead body. Francois also finds Mtunwa, Messenger, who is mortally wounded. Before dying in Francois's arms, Messenger reveals the extent of the carnage: Lamy, Auzi Yohana, Emilia, and Sir James Monctonair all dead. Sir James had been shot in the doorway of the house, dying only after killing several attackers himself, the final retreat and the falling stars. With the ranch in flames and the survivors being hunted, Francois, Noni, Exhabo, and Nuantara retreat to Mantis's cave. Exhabo refuses to let them flee immediately, sensing through his tapping that the enemy is searching the bush everywhere. From the safety of the cave, the four of them watch the sun set over a world that has been utterly destroyed in a single morning. Noni is overcome with grief but finds comfort in Hintsa, whom she realizes is the first animal to become the friend of man and a silent witness to their tragedy. Exhabo tells Francois to tell his woman, Noni, that the stars are stringing the beads for the dead, watering the night with their tears. He interprets the shooting stars falling over the river as a sign that the spirits are aware of the bad thing that has happened and that they are not alone. The book ends with the four companions retreating into the darkness of the cave, a place that Francois now sees as the last temple left on Earth. They sit apart, listening to the tapping within themselves and the stars, waiting to be shown the way through the wilderness that now lies before them. The magic of primitive Africa has been eclipsed by the ugliness of modern war, but the connection between the boy, the girl, the bushman, and the dog remains a flicker of light in an utterly dark night. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.